Thanks for downloading this message from Pastor Mike's podcast. May God bless you as you listen.
I am praying not only for those disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, and you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be as one as we are one. I am in them, and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Thanks be to you, O Lord. And reading from Exodus 37, verse 7 to 23. It was Moses' practice to take the tent of meeting and set it up some distance from the camp. Everyone who wanted to make a request of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent of meeting, all the people would get up and stand in the entrances at their own tents. They would all watch Moses until he disappeared inside. As he went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and hover at its entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. When the people saw the cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they would stand and bow in front of their own tents. Inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. Afterward, Moses would return to the camp, but the young man who assisted him, Joshua, son of Nun, would remain behind in the tent of meeting. One day Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, take these people up to the promised land, but you haven't told me whom you will send with me. You have told me, I know you by name, and I look favourably on you. Is it true that you look favourably on me? Let me know your ways, so I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favour. And remember that this nation is your very own people." The Lord replied, "I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you." Then Moses said, "If you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. How will anyone know that you look favourably on me and on your people, if you don't go with us? For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all other people on earth." The Lord replied to Moses, "I will indeed do what you have asked for I look favourably on you and I know you by name." Moses responded, "Then show me your glorious presence." The Lord replied, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will call out my name, Yahweh, before you. For I will show mercy to anyone I choose, and I will show compassion to anyone I choose. But you may not look directly at my face, for no one may see me and live." The Lord continued, "Look, stand near me on this rock. As my glorious presence passes by, I will hide you in the crevice of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and let you see me from behind, but my face will not be seen." This is the word of the Lord.
It's good to be with you this morning. And it's been a joy just spending all this time in Mandra this last 1 week. It's been great fun and great rest, great interaction with home groups, in the videos. And I think I've had such a beautiful time with the children in school, being able to share with the young ones and challenging them about their future and what the kind of more productive life they need to live, because I think that's our future leaders, our future generation, and we need to support them as much as it will take and pray for them. Things are turning upside down all over the world with children, young people getting away from God and turning against their parents, turning against each other, which I think is not the way to go, but we just need to keep encouraging them and praying for them every single day. Because prayer, I believe, is one of the great tools that we can win this battle of seeing each other grow up in the Lord and enjoy the fellowship of one another. My subject has been growing up with one another in the Lord, and I was sharing that in the last service. And I just want to make an emphasis on prayer a little bit more as we pray for our families and our children, because I think there is so much hope when we pray, when we learn to pray, and when we do it with faith and believing that it really works. Because sometimes I think we pray, but we don't believe it works, which is dangerous. And if you don't hope anything to happen when you pray, there's no point of why you should pray anyway. You just have to just... Because I know it really does. And in our reading in John chapter 17, verse 20 to 23, the Bible says, Jesus prayed for us all. You know, I picked up that phrase. It's like Jesus prayed for us all. And the prayer was that we'll be one. We'll be one. But we are not. Of course, we are not. I mean, people have issues. People don't get along with one another very well. But we have no excuse for that. As I was just speaking maybe in the last service, it doesn't matter the people you live with. Sometimes, like, they may not be very kind to you. They may be difficult. They may be thinking differently. They may have different opinions. They may hate you. They may throw insults at you. But when it comes to it, Jesus said, let them be one. So it's like, why would he want us to be one with somebody who throws insults at me and somebody who doesn't agree with me, somebody who has a different opinion about things? It's like, how can we be one? We pray. He prayed because he believed in prayer. He believed that if we pray, it happens. If I pray, I expect results. And when you pray for whoever, expect results. If I'm praying for my wife, I'm expecting results. If I'm praying for my children, I expect results. We have a big family. I think our family is about maybe 150. And we live together. It's not all in my house, but that's our community. And but you see different people with different personalities. They have their own ways of living. They see things differently. And nobody is the same. Nobody. And it's interesting why. I mean, it's like when you ask yourself why God created us to be different. And even when we are born twins, we are still different. Why is that? I mean, it's like you may have two identical children, but they have different ways of living. They think differently. But that's God, because he manifests himself in a different way in different people. And now it's like whether we adopt certain lifestyles from our fallen nature, he still believes that we can still have that element of him in us when we draw near to him, so that we are not necessarily going to struggle, identify with one another. Because if God is in us all, we definitely are going to enjoy having that fellowship of one another. But more so, when we have God in us, it doesn't matter whether there's God in another person. When God is in you, because he loves you, he loves me the way I am, he loves you the way you are. And so if he's in me, I will love you no matter what. I mean, I will just be able to love you. You may be very difficult to me. You may not really like me, but it may not necessarily matter, because I'll just have only that choice, his choice and his way. And I think when Jesus prayed a prayer and said, let them be one, he was praying believing that it is still possible for people to be one. And more so in the church like this. This is a church family. We are a family. And there's no reason why we should not be one. I struggle quite a bit, and it makes me sometimes kind of, you know, cry a little bit. You know, when I see people getting at each other, it's like hating each other, especially when they're in the church. They can't get along, and they can't forgive each other. They can't, you know, they don't seem to regard each other. They don't seem to respect one another. I find that really hard, especially when somebody professes to be a Christian. He loves God with all his heart. That can be different. I mean, it can be hard for me to understand. Because if they are one, if Jesus and the Father are one, there's no way we can be living apart in our hearts, more especially. Because it doesn't make any difference when people can sleep on the same bed. The difference comes when people's hearts are really together. It's not when they are physically living or staying or sleeping on the same bed. The difference, what Jesus sees more is what is in the heart. And you may say, well, we're living together happily. Well, living together happily under the same roof is not what Jesus is looking at. He's looking at the hearts together. Our hearts, our minds. Do we love each other? And do we really respect one another? Because if you love somebody, you definitely respect them. Because these two have to go together. So we emulate him. We begin to live his life. We try to live his life. We may not necessarily be perfect, but that's the way to go. It's like you make an effort to live and to care and to be patient, to tolerate one another. And as I would say, you learn to put up with everybody else. You learn to put up with the people that maybe your feelings don't agree with. You live to put up with people that seem to be so much against you. It can be hard, but it's just only one way. It can be so difficult, but it's just one way. And that one way is being able to respect and love each other the way Jesus loves you and the way he expects us to love one another. And if he says, let them be one, I'm praying that they'll be one because we are one. It's hard sometimes to teach children to do things that you don't do. It's very, very difficult. If you tell them to do things, I read one of the books about boundaries for kids. And there's a statement, you know, I'm not a good reader. But when I get a statement in a book, whether it's on the first chapter, I let the book go. It's like, that's enough. I've had it. It's like, I read this scripture, I get excited, I go with it. And the statement said, I think in the first few chapters, it said, children learn from what we do more than what we tell them to do. And I've lived with that. It's like, I didn't need to read the whole book. I put the book down. It's like, I've lived with that one statement I read from the first few chapters. I do more of listening than actually reading books. So if I have an audio book, I'll probably listen to it. Because like, it'll do it for me. When I read that, I realized how sometimes, it's like, we want to tell children, we want to tell them to do stuff that we cannot do. We want them to do the things that we think should be done. But when we can't necessarily put our hands to it, which I think the scripture is so much against. But Jesus knows that it is still possible. He's the creator. Nothing was made without him. Everything, including me, including you, was made through him and in him. And when he says, let them be one, I pray that they'll be one. And I don't only pray for these. Actually, the statement says that they will be one as you are one with your son. Jesus prayed for us all. It was a demonstration that we should all emulate this kind of relationship with everybody. But he did not just pray that. He says, I do not pray for these alone. Because I think he was seeing another family. I don't pray for these alone, but for those who will believe through their word. Today, we're still walking through that prayer. listening to this word. We come to church, we study the Bible, we listen to the Bible, we teach the Bible, we discuss the Bible. But at the end of the day, it's like he's still saying, let them be one. Know this, because you and me believe. And it's no point if we're just going to listen to it and not do it. Because it works. It really works for everybody. And people who really put the word of God into practice, it works for them. But when it comes to prayer, we are talking to God, we are talking to God, and God is talking back to us. There is a communication. But because that's the only way we can handle anything to do with Him, with things that to do with Him. Because people belong to God. I don't have any powers to change anybody or to try to change anybody. We know that. It's like, it's very difficult when you have people or partners in the house or spouse, and they're like, you want to change them? You want to model them? You want to fix them? Because sometimes we do. We can become so wise in our own ways, and it's like, it doesn't work. You want to fix him? You want to fix her? Try it. But you'll be frustrated, and probably it won't be long before you maybe part ways, because you just can't do it. They can't get fixed. And Jesus wants us to learn from him that when we pray for each other, pray for each other. It's like you go out of the way. You do your part of praying for the other person. Praying for the people you don't get along with. Praying for your spouse. And whether you think you are going very well with them or not. There are times when we may find it difficult, especially for people who are married, that maybe certain things don't go really well. But do you pray? How much do you pray? How much do you trust that God can change the situation? How much? Oh, because like if we're living a selfish life where we want things to go our way, we'll try to put, to convince, to manipulate, to fix, you know, to oppress so that the other person can come our way. We twist their arms so they think that they can do things the way we think, or the way we imagine, because our thinking, our imagination, our opinion is always right. The other person's opinion is not right. So you want to do it your own way. So you try to twist their arms, you try to manipulate them, you try to, you know, fix them. But I think there are moments when we may have just to let it go. And that's the hardest part sometimes. When, you know, things are really going very hard and you want to probably let it go. Let God fix it. I don't need to argue with my wife. When she's very, very, you know, when she seems to be really inclined on something. If she says, this is the way I'm going, and it's like, I'll bring my opinion, I'll bring my suggestion. It's like, but don't you think if you did it that way, it may work? I mean, if she insists, I will let it go. I will let it go and said, okay, just do it the way you think it's right. You know what? It helps sometimes when you just learn to let things go. Because if it's not in God's way, God will never allow that to happen. And it will never affect you. And because you're not God, you're not trying to act or to kind of be God in a situation, it will be good for you, because then it will be good for your heart. People suffer heart problems. They suffer headaches because they're trying to do God's piece of work. And that happens all over. You want to do it. You want to do it. You want to play God at some point in people's lives. But I think human beings are the most complex creatures on earth. Because, and God knows that, and He told us that. He warned us ahead of time. In Jeremiah 17, I think chapter 8, 9, He says, the heart of man is deceitful above all things. You know, and it is, seems to be very sick. Actually, he says it is sick. It's not. It's sick of something that you just cannot. It cannot be healed. It's beyond human understanding. It's beyond human whatever ability to change. But he says he can do it. He can change people's hearts. He can fix it, and that means we can still wait on him until he does. What will I be worried about if it doesn't turn out the way I think? Who cares? Because at the end of the day, things will turn out the way they turn out, and you have to put up with them the way they are. But I think if we're trusting God, we're putting God in the picture. At the end of the day, by praying and trusting that, you know, God, I have no ability to do this. This will help our relationship to grow even stronger. Because at the end of the day, it's like if God has been trusted, like if we can really learn to trust Him, that He can do it. He does it. And then it will be, you know, at the end of the day, it's for our benefit. So when you pray, you do yourself a favor. When you pray, you're doing yourself a favor. You're letting God be God. And you're telling yourself, I'm not able to do it. And if I try, it will probably be overwhelming. It will be too much. It will depress me. It will frustrate me. I think for many of us who have tried to fix each other, I think you've got a few lessons, perhaps. You've tried, and maybe you've had your own lessons. But you know what? We don't seem to learn enough. Every single day we're trying to fix ourselves. We're trying to fix each other. And that's why we urge you. We don't seem to be, you know, like things are hard in relationships. But I shouldn't be in Christians, among Christians. But you see, I'm seeing the church having more problems than even maybe the non-Christians. People who seem to have it, they have the principle, they have the way to go. They seem to know what to do. But you know, I'm learning with time that it doesn't matter how much people know. Because people might know too much, but they do so little about it, about what they know. And what makes the difference is not how much you know, it's how much you do about what you know. At the end of the day, it's like if you're trying to put into practice what God has said you should do, I'm sure it will change your life and it will change somebody else. And I think we can be happier as a family, not because somebody's really behaving the right way, but just because somebody has just taken some responsibility to live a life that God wants him to be. And that's an individual responsibility. I don't give an excuse, you know, if I've not taken responsibility, I don't say, well, if my wife behaved well, if my neighbor did well, if my pastor or if my elder really did it well, I think it would be well with me too. Everything would be really fine. So we take the blame to somebody else all the time. But why is that? It's because we don't see God in the picture. We see everybody else being the wrong one. We want to do the blame game. And that has been on for us for years. But we can still reverse that. Because much as Adam was saying, the wife he gave me, and the wife is saying, the serpent, I mean, that's just a blame game. But it doesn't matter. Before God, you stand by yourself and you'll be judged by what you do and how you do things. Because he says again in Jeremiah chapter 17, he says that the Lord will, you know, it's like the heart of man is deceitful above all things. Who can know it except God who examines and tests the heart? And then he rewards you according to what's in your heart, the works of your heart. So if God is going to judge each one of us individually, then we are definitely taking our individual responsibility in making sure that we're just doing what he wants us to do. What everybody else is doing, you know, everybody is responsible for their own things. And you know, you can be more at peace. You can put your heart at peace. You can live happily every single day. It's very possible. If it wasn't, God wouldn't have prayed that prayer. Jesus wouldn't have said, let them be one. And I don't pray for only these, but all those that will hear the word, those who will share this same word, those who believe, you and me do believe. And that's the answer. I want to be happy. Not at the you know, I want to be happy. Nobody can make me happy. Well, you may sort of, you know, do some kind of dramatic stuff or just play your own games and make me laugh so that I'll appear to be happy. But that's not it. It's only God who can make me happy. It's only God who can make you happy at the end of the day. So I can choose to be happy today. And you can choose to hate me, and you show me that you really dislike me, And I can live such a miserable life worrying about because you don't like me. You don't love me. But you know what? That's the choice I make. I can choose to worry about the way you feel about me, or I can choose to neglect that. It's like when you tell me I'm stupid. It depends whether I believe you or not. Because I can choose to believe you that you know how stupid I am, but I can choose to ignore that because I'm not stupid. And I will live happily because I'm not stupid. But that's what you think. But I can still take that on board. So if life, I think as a Christian, it's all about choices we make. It's like if we make the right choices, God is so faithful. He's amazingly faithful that he will never let anybody just live such a miserable life because of somebody else. He doesn't want you to live. He doesn't want me to live a miserable life because of my neighbor. He wants me to be happy. And my happiness comes as a result because I trust him that much. I trust him always. Not just at times. No, all the time. Every single day. And that's what I want to be. And I believe that's where we are supposed to be. To live so that we are happy. Somebody else will be feeling jealous because we're happy. It's interesting how some people will just feel bad because you are very happy and feel so bad about it. Why is he happy? Why is he laughing all the time? Why is he smiling all the time? I mean, like, people have issues, really. It's like they have problems with others getting along very well with their own life. Every person has an individual responsibility on their lives and how they live, how they think. Because if you're thinking wrongly, nobody is responsible. If you're angry, you may say, well, he made me angry. Okay. How many times do we have to get angry because somebody is trying to make us angry? I mean, we get abused. People throw insults at us sometimes. People, you read stuff that can be so offensive. You know, people make images. They do all kind of stuff. That can really be annoying you. But how many times do you have to get annoyed because somebody is doing something that seems has the ability to make you angry? So you can choose to trust that what they are saying, the image they are portraying about your life, is just exactly who you are. And that's what they intend to hurt you. And then you get hurt because you believe. But you know what? I believe God is wanting the family, he's wanting people in their relationships to trust that even when it is so difficult, even when it seems to be all going very well, we need to learn to pray and pray and pray and pray all the time, whether it feels good, whether you feel comfortable, but you must learn to pray and pray. He never just did the teaching. It's interesting that at the end of the day, it's like this is almost the end of his life on earth. It's like he's just saying, now I'm on my way, I'm going. But the thing I know, it's like I'll pray. Because anything after that, my prayer is like they'll be one. And God, you know that. These are your children. And Moses says that in chapter 33 of Exodus. He says, I don't just pray for these alone. These are your people. I mean, Jesus said, I'm not praying for these alone, but all those that have believed. And then Moses says, Lord, I want to know you. I want to know you. And if I have found favor before you, of course, I want to know you really, really, really well. But why is he saying that? Because if he knows God, he will know his people. He will learn how to deal with people. And you know, the people who have the most difficult issues in their relationships, they have God so far away. They have God so far away. They are full of themselves. They want things their own way. They are so selfish. They are so mean. I mean, just if you want to know somebody who is really mean, they are always very, very upset. They get upset about all things. I mean, if you really get upset about many things all the time, It's time to examine your heart, because you just there's something which is full of yourself at the end of the day. You've never surrendered to God enough. You'll be annoyed by everybody. You'll be annoyed by your cats. You'll be annoyed by your dogs. You'll be annoyed by pets, birds, whatever pet you've got in the house. You'll be annoyed by anything swinging around. It's like you get annoyed with everything else. You'll curse everything. You'll slam doors. You'll break plates. Things that had nothing to do with it, with you. But because you're just about yourself. But you know what? God has paved the way for each one of us to be happy. That's a fact. He's never created anybody to just suffer with such kind of frustrations and pain and grumbling and complaining every single day. Because it's still possible to limit how much you complain and grumble in your life if you pray. If you can trust that there is a lot that you cannot do, because he said, without me, you can do nothing. He said that. And there's no way you can actually change that upside down. Without me, you can do nothing. So if you want to overcome, if you want to live happily, you want to be happy, you can be happy anywhere. You can be happy with everybody. They may be so gloomy, they may be grumpy, they may be looking funny, whatever. They may be looking useless and hopeless, but that's nothing to do with you. If you're just trusting God enough, if you're praying and knowing that without him, you can do nothing, you can live a more fulfilling life. By praying, we can adapt to prayer. And prayer, you know, we're living in a world that is busy, 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 busy. Everybody knows that. And you know what? If you are too busy, you just can't pray enough. You will never pray enough. Well, you may say, I'm going to pray, but the thing is, you probably may not be able to pray enough, because if you are too busy, you must pray more. If you're not too busy, you probably pray less. But I don't encourage anybody to pray less either. And it's like, you may think, well, I've prayed enough. But what is enough? You may be just going on your way and doing all this kind of stuff, but then it's like, it has nothing to do with him. It's like, okay, you just feel it's good. He will accept that, my sacrifice. No. Prayer is something that I believe it's hard work. It's real work. Prayer is not just doing a few lines in your mind and it's like, okay, Lord, I think you know I'm really tired. So like, okay, whether you're tired and feeling grumpy and hopeless, you just have to say a very short prayer. I think, Lord, you understand. No. If Jesus, the Son of God, will pray that much, pray all night, I think we have a long way to go as far as prayer is concerned. It will take a lot of time. It will take away a lot of things in our lives. And I think the more we have stuff in our lives, the more concerns we have, the more cares we have, the less of our prayer life. And it may appear as if like it's enough. And you know what? We are learning to justify. You know, you don't need to pray that long. Of course not. But it's not about the length. It's about the connection. How much is your heart connected to God? Because I believe if your heart is connected, if my heart is connected to God, I will take the responsibility to take time away by myself as often as possible. And the more busy I get, the more need for prayer. And more time I'll definitely spend praying. And it's like, Lord, I cannot do it. And you know what? It just takes a big sacrifice for people to be able to stay away from their families. You know, it's good to spend time with family, but there's a moment where God just wants you alone, just by yourself. And it's very good to pray as a group, and it's good to pray as a family. But it's just as important. You know, you can actually pray so well together if you learn to pray by yourself. If you learn to spend time with God, and you know, it doesn't matter how much time we can spend with God. You can spend with God 3 hours lying on the floor just by yourself. No phone calls, no computers, no tele, no nothing, no children, no husband, no wife, no best friend, nothing. 3 hours, 4 hours, you have nothing to lose. Nothing to lose. And whether you're hearing anything, but like if you've committed yourself that this is, Lord, I'm here in this room. I want to meet you. I want to fellowship with you. It's a different experience. And I think there's a moment where you can get really sucked in prayer, that you feel the power of God. You feel the presence of God in your life. But there are moments when you just do it because, like, I mean, you do it within your means. You can do it the way you feel. It's like, well, now I feel I'm tired of praying. But you know what? There are moments when you have to go His way, whether you feel tired, whether you feel like He's speaking or not, because sometimes He may not totally say things to you, but because He just wants you to be there. Like He called Moses, come up the mountain, come up here. I believe when Moses heard God say, come up. He thought maybe God is just, it's like He has such an urgency. He wants to speak to him immediately. It never happened. For almost 6 days, he was up there. And at some point, I think he spent like 40 days. He's up there. And like, you just wonder, why didn't God speak on the first day? Why not on the second day? Why not on the third day? Why not on the fourth day? Now, just imagine the life we're living today. How much of God are we going to hear? The style, the lifestyle we live today, the commitments that we have today, how much of Him are we going to hear? How much of Him are we going to experience? When I look at the technology today, I begin to sense something. Could it be that the element that drives us crazy with trying to communicate, be on Facebook, be on Twitter, be on, you know, whatever, could it be that that element was God's element? That we can still use it because people can get excited. People can get engraved into it. They really get into, they flow, they go, they disappear. And, you know, we do that all the time. Could it be that that element is being corrupted? The element that God would have taken a little bit of more, that we could have fellowship more with God. Because every day, you know, we spend more time with people, communicating with people more than we talk to God. Now, I don't think that's the best way. Think of it. I don't think that's the way God wants it to be, that we may spend more time speaking to one another, fellowshipping to one another, communicating to one another. But when it comes to Him, it's not a big deal. I know. You live in a very interesting country. I love this country. It's a very interesting country, but it can be a very tricky one too. Because there's so much to think about. There's so much to do. It's a busy country. Life is really very fast here. And, you know, and I was hearing this weekend is going to be a long weekend. I think Monday is a public holiday. So it's like, you know, and I saw trucks and, you know, caravans and just going everywhere because people are just going to spend some holiday. You know, it's like some time away. It's like, could you just imagine somebody who would just say, well, I've been just too busy all this time. Now, I'll go and spend time with God. I want to go and spend time with God. They don't see that as very important anymore. It's like they would still go and have time on the beach or something. It's like, you know, just relax somewhere in the beach. It's like, you know, so what is it all about? Is it about me just being able to relax my body that has been overstretched, or I really need God to speak into my life and renew my strength and renew my spirit, renew my mind, you know, get the Bible and study, and, you know, it's like, but you don't tell that to anybody. It's like, no, they don't believe you. Nobody will believe you. But what's the best way to do it? Is it just to go and relax and just have your time? Because I believe in holiday. But you know what? The holiday without God. The holiday without the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Because He told us, you know, do not do much unless the Holy Spirit comes down to you. But you know what? Today it's like, how many people are seeking God are seeking the presence of the Holy Spirit, the guidance of the Holy Spirit to do the stuff they do. Because it's very easy now to click something on the internet because it has almost everything. Like if you need to know about anything, just click, 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 click. So it's like life is about clicking. It's not about prayer anymore. You just click. It's a click away. Whatever you want. It's a click away. And that's life we're starting to live. But could that be a corrupted sort of element of God in us that He had desired to fellowship with you, to love you, to care for you, and to be able to take away some of those cares from you so that you can be happy, enjoy your life, enjoy being a Christian? But you know what? People are finding it difficult even to be Christians. Today it's like, okay, why would the church almost, you know, feel like it's a place of, you know, of sadness? It's like, why do you go to church? It's not interesting anymore. Why? Because like people are just drifting away and they think they cannot do it their own way. But they're not very happy. They're committing suicide all the time. They're having problems with families because they think, well, we can now today we're seeing families doing contracts. Like you don't have to get, you know, you don't need to do a covenant relationship anymore. It's not a covenant. You can do just a contract. You just live with one another. If I don't feel good about you, you know, we quit. And it's like, where is that in the Bible? It's not there. God wants a different way. But people still want to do it. It's like, they just want to leave a contract. You know, it's like, just let's see how it works. You know, I would think that is very disrespectful. It's like to say, well, just live with you. But if you're doing very good, we can renew the contract. But if you're not doing good, if I'm not very happy with you, I think we just have to part ways. And like, who is this? I mean, who has all the power to do that? Is it me? Or it's God who brings us together, that He wants us to be together. He wants us to make sure we can connect, even in difficult times. We can stand with one another, pray for each other, and enjoy the fellowship of one another. And not only just one day, but every single day. Be happy. Be happy in joy. Because He promised you'll be okay if you can only just obey, live by His principle. And it's my prayer that as a church we grow up together. As a family we grow up together, understanding some of these basic principles, and just live the life that is more rewarding. And that's the life in Christ, the life in God alone. But if you're going your own way, doing it the way you think, it's going to be a disaster. There will be no joy. But I believe we can get restored if we can just learn to trust that whatever He says is true. And if we should know the truth will set us free. If we can only pray for each other, pray for our families, pray for our spouses, take the responsibility, obey God every single day, it won't matter. We'll be happy. We'll enjoy each other. It won't be mechanical. It will be real. It will be for real. Father, thank you. Because you are so faithful in every way. Let every man be a liar. But you know where we are. Where we are with you. How we stand with you. We ask you, Father, that Lord, we have disobeyed. We have lived the way we want. We have chosen our own way. We have struggled. And we have tried in our own strength to fix it. But Father, I know without you we can do nothing. Help us, O Father, that the life we live with one another will draw others into your presence. Because you say, let them be one so that the world will know you sent me. But Father, we are seeing the church almost disappear on the face of the earth. We're seeing churches turned into social clubs. And some of them turned into bars. for drinking. Because there's no more people worshipping. People have wandered off. We've gone our own way, but I'm asking you, Father, that Lord, you'll strengthen our families, that our children will be able to see the example of our relationship, through our relationship with you. That will not be a choice, a matter of choice, but Father, it will be a commitment, because that's the only way we can go. Your way is our way. I pray a blessing on each one of us today and on the church. And I pray that, Father, you bring healing to many who struggle. You bring hope. And once again, our Father will be restored and revived to enjoy the fellowship of one another and to seek to restore one another. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message by Pastor Mike Ford of the Rockingham Mandurah Lutheran Parish. For information about our church and our service times, you can call the office on 9593 9545. God bless you.